Today we shall be beginning a new series which will take us through to the end of August. So it's quite an in-depth series. We're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Now you may say, we've only just done that not long ago. And yes, that is true. But we believe that the last time we did it, we only scratched the surface. And the reason why we decided to look at the Sermon on the Mount again was, one, because it was probably one of Jesus' most important teachings. And we feel that these types of teachings need to be addressed again and again and again, because unfortunately we do forget them, and they are the foundation of the Christian life. The other reason was because when eight of us went to Kansas City in December, one of the teaching sessions of Mr. Mike Bickle was on the Beatitudes, and we came back, maybe not all of us, but John and I certainly did, convicted. And the reason for that conviction was, he said, just before we went on a break, that the majority of believers, if asked, could they reel off the Beatitudes, most would not be able to. I thought, no. And he said, during the break, discuss it amongst yourselves and see if you can. So, you know, we all went, yeah, blessed be, blessed. Given 10 minutes, we may have all done it. But I don't believe any of us could reel them off by heart. And I thought, whoa, that's terrible. But that wasn't the worst of what he said. What actually convicted me was the words he said after that, which were, if we don't know them, then we cannot be living them. A few nods of the head. And that was the ouch. If we don't know them, then we cannot be living them. And Sandra and I came back determined to learn them. Somebody said to me not long ago, quite a, you know, normal question to ask, why do we need to know them, and why do we need to know them by heart? Well, it got me thinking. My answer to that will be, why not? Why not? If you were, and what Sandra and I did when we came home, and I would urge you to do it, maybe as a couple, brother and sister, home groups, learn, take 1 hour a week, that's all, 1 hour per week, to sit down together with a cup of tea, television switched off, and memorize. Memorize one a week. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. That's all. And believe you me, it will stick with you. And the reason why I feel we need to do that is because in the first and second verses, it tells you why. Matthew 5 verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled, persecuted, or have all sorts of evil things said about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you." 12 weeks, and you'll be able to quote it. And my answer to the question, why do we need to know them, and why do we need to know them in order, is verse 2, Jesus says, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. If it's good enough for Jesus, if Jesus felt his disciples needed to know, shouldn't we? We are his disciples. So that's why we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes in more depth. There's so much in Matthew 5, 6 and 7. But guess what? We're not going to be looking at it today. That was my mini sermon. Now I come to the proper sermon. I feel that before we can start to look at the Beatitudes and live the Beatitudes, there is something that we need to do first. So I'd like you to turn to Matthew 22, one that we all know, 36, 37, 38 and 39. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. And the second is like it also. Love your neighbor as yourself." I don't believe that if we don't do that, how can we live the Beatitudes? Jesus is saying here that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. If we don't put God, if we don't put the first commandment into first place, we will never live out the Beatitudes. So that's what I want to be looking at today. Four things. Love him with all your heart. Love him with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Note that Jesus didn't say this is the first option. He didn't say, well, I'd like you to love the Lord your God. He said, you shall command. You shall love the Lord your God. It's a command. We are called to do it. Have you ever asked yourself, why does God want my love? What can I give him? He has everything. Why does he need my love? You know, sometimes we have to stop and think about these things. look into it. And the only thing that I can think of is, God created Adam. Hello, Adam. And he created in Adam a heart. And he breathed life into that man. And then he created Eve with a heart and breathed life into her. And that is the reason why he created them. He had everything, and everything belonged to him. He had the angels. But he wanted something that was created in his own image. That's you and I. With a heart that was made to love him back. One day, every single knee, everything in creation, will mandatorily bow the knee to him. Whether they want to or not, including Satan. One day he's going to have to bow that knee. He'll do it begrudgingly. He'll be sweating, but he'll do it. That's not what God wants from us. He wants voluntary love. He won't force himself upon you. He won't stand over you with a big stick and say, "You will love me." He could, but he won't. He wants your heart to pump for Do you know, it takes God to love God. We can't do it. We cannot do it. We can try in our own strength till we're blue in the face, but we cannot do it. First of all, he imparts that love to our heart. And I love to see it as this picture. God imparting his love to my heart. Wow. Might only be a little heart, but he'll impart enough love into it that I will then want to say, "Thank you, Lord. I want to love you now." So my love that he's imparted to me will go back to him. And then I'll say, "Oh, George loves me. I better make his heart a bit bigger so that he can impart more love to me." And I can start feeling, "Oh, this is love. More of it, more of it, more of it." And I give him more love and it grows and it's like that, backwards and forwards. And then one day, my heart becomes so full of love for him that it spills out and I want to start loving others. I can't do anything but that. And that's how it works. Then, once we have that love of God within us and we give that back to him and he gives us more of it and it overflows from us and we can then start to love others, then the second commandment comes in. Then we can start to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's why you created me, Lord. So the first thing is, we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart. God does not want the little bit that we sometimes want to give him. It's not enough. We cannot give him the little bits that we want to give him. He desires everything. Only when we give him all can he genuinely use us. We cannot be Sunday Christians. Oh, I think I'll go to church today, so I'll come away feeling good. But the rest of the week, I'll do what I want. Doesn't work that way. We must remember that Jesus gave his all. He didn't have to. They could have left us lying where we were. But that wasn't why we were created. And the sad thing is that we can cultivate our love for God with everything we have, or we can cultivate a love and give it to something else. Oh, I think I'll go on today and watch the... You know what happened on Thursday? Just going off on a tangent. I finished my work for Thursday dinner time, and I thought, what shall I do today? You know the first thing that came to my mind? I think I'll watch a DVD. So simple. Happens all the time, doesn't it? We've had a hard day, I think I'll go and put my feet up. But I thought, no, I don't want to do that. So I thought, I'll come round to church. No one will be in the building, and I'll put on the prayer room and I'll spend an hour with God. So I come in, switches everything off, the couches are there, got my Bible all prepared, switches it on, no sound. I thought, no, I don't believe this. So I'm fiddling with all these knobs and whatnot, so nothing's happening. I thought, I don't believe this. Knew I should have watched the DVD. So I phoned John, and I said, John, have you had problems with this sound system? He said, no, he says it's been working great. He said, oh, but we did have a funeral there yesterday, and they were playing CDs, so maybe they changed the format or whatever. So I'm thinking, and I turned everything off by now. So I thought, I'm going to go watch a DVD. But then I sat down on the couch, and I'm reading my Bible. I thought, I'll give it another go. So I went back, switched everything back on, pressed a few buttons here and there. I hate technology. Next minute, woo, the sound came. Yes! I had one of the best quiet times with God that I'd had for weeks. And the words of James Aladrian came back to me. You know where he said that we sometimes have to violently grab for the kingdom of God? Because the enemy wants to steal, wants to come and take us away from that which God wants us to do, and fills our thoughts with something. It's so easy just to go and put a DVD on. But would have I felt as good afterwards? No. He wants our hearts. He also wants all our mind. You think, all our mind, what's that? As I said before, we can set our minds on anything we choose to. And our mind is the doorway to our inner man. And I love the way that Mike Bickle puts this. Never thought of this before. He says, our mind is an internal, movie screen. Never thought of it that way before. Our mind is an internal movie screen that continually shows us pictures. It's like a camera that stores our memories. We are the producer, the main actor, and the consumer. And I thought, wow. We produce what we see, we act in it, and we watch it. Everything that comes in. Oh, today, should I wear my red socks or should I wear my black socks? Should I have steak pie for my dinner or should I have salad? Every single thing that we think about is in there as a picture. You know, you get up in the morning and you think, should I put on the Red Sox? And you see the Red Sox. Our mind is a vast universe within us that will never, ever shut off. We go to bed and you're still thinking about what you've done on that day. It never shuts off. But we can redirect our thoughts. If bad is coming into our minds, we don't have to put up with it. We can think upon good things. How many of us wake up in the middle of the night and you think, oh, that was horrible. And you don't want to close your eyes because you know your mind will go back to the thoughts or the dream that you've just been having. And it's horrible. But you can redirect those thoughts. You can say, I'm not having that. And you can start to think upon good things. And it's amazing how many believers have at their beck and call, right at their fingertips, good stuff that they can be putting into their minds. And yet, what do? We choose to watch telly. We choose to do this. We choose to be entertained in a different manner. We choose to think, how do I look today? All of these things that the enemy can use, I'm not saying they're bad, but the enemy can use them to pull us away from where we should be, where we know we want to be. You see, we love God with all of our mind by taking the time to fill our mind on things that bring us into agreement with God. Now, I'm not saying that's easy to do, because it's blooming hard. You've got to go to work. You've got children to look after. You've got the dinner to cook. All of these things takes your time. You're at work, you're listening to whatever your boss is telling you to do. You know you've got this to do and that to do. God knows that. You've got to put food on your table. But whilst you're doing it, you can still think upon God. I am in a position where I am able to put on my iPad in a customer's house. Or plug into my iPod. So whilst I'm working, I can be listening to the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that you can in the hospital, my sweet. But nevertheless, you can still think upon Him. The more we think upon Jesus, the more our hearts will become enlarged. The more that we can take in of Him, and the more we can give to God. We are called to love Him with all our strength. It doesn't actually say that in Matthew 22. But we say, you know, we have to love Him with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. What does it mean to love Him with all our strength? God, I love you today. Oh, I love you, God. You know, with all our strength. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is, we can use, or we must use, all of our resources to love him. Your money, your talents, your gifts, your time, your energy. That's how we love God with all of our strength. By using the good things that He has given us to help others outside. God loves that. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves someone who says to themselves, oh, well, you know, I've got a few hours to kill this afternoon. I can watch a DVD. Or I could go and visit so-and-so in hospital. Doesn't cost you anything. But you're honouring God. You're loving God. You know, sometimes we don't think of the time and effort that our worship team put in. You know, we see them at the front here on a Sunday morning, but we don't see what goes on in the background. We don't see the Tuesday nights or the Wednesday mornings or whatever time it takes for them to come and practice together. Doesn't just happen, but they are giving their time to serve God and us with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. And God loves that. You see, we show our strength in the five activities in the Sermon on the Mount. That's why I say this must come first before we can go out and serve the communities. When we love God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength, we are living out to serve and give, one of the Beatitudes, to pray, to fast, to bless our adversaries, and to forgive one another. All positive qualities of the Holy Spirit, all positive qualities of the Beatitudes. These are the things we are called to do. But we cannot do it in our own strength. Now, the last one, which is my favourite. To love God with all our soul. Our inner man. That's where the tire meets the asphalt. With all our soul. That's where your heart is. That is your identity with God. Your soul. That's what defines you from you. You from you. Me from you. Your identity is your soul. No one can affect that. No one can tell you what to do. It's between you and God. Your inner man. And that's why daily we should pray for our inner man. We should ask the Holy Spirit to come in, shore us up, give us the strength, give us the ability to love God more. Because that's where the devil will attack you, your inner man. That's where the enemy comes in and says, oh, you don't really want to go out tonight, do you? Oh, you've had a hard day. Why don't you just put your feet up? Oh, it's raining outside. You don't want to get wet. That's where it happens, in your inner man. And that's why we need to pray that the Lord will bless and strengthen our inner man. Because that's when we can come out and say, I am going tonight. I might not feel it, but I am going tonight. And that's where he can bless you. So going back to the situation where God comes into our hearts, fills our heart with the love of him, we give that back to him. He then gives us more as our heart grows. I love that. That is when we can start to love ourselves. We can start to love ourselves as God loves us. And I want to say something to you now, and I'm not being vain, and I'm not being conceited, but I like me. You might not. You might hate me. You might dislike me. I love me. I like me. I like who I am. I like what God has done in my life. I am happy with me. I thank you, God, for making me me. I have things to do that only I can do, that God has given me to do. You have things to do that only you can do. And unfortunately, so many believers go around thinking on, God, what have you got for me to do? And missing out on, God, what have you got for me to become? We're so obsessed with what is my role in life? What does God want me to do? And yet we don't spend enough time in his presence allowing him to tell us what he wants us to do. We end up praying and thinking, God is saying to me, I've got to go to Outer Mongolia. And he might not want you anywhere near Outer Mongolia. But you feel that God is telling me to do this because I've got to do something. When the first thing he wants you to do is become a wholehearted lover of God. When you're at that place, when you can sit down and say nothing, is the time when God can speak to you. But you ain't going to do it when you're rushing here, thither and there and everywhere else and not listening or hearing what he's saying to you. And it's taken me a long time to come to that point. So do you know what? It doesn't bother me if somebody likes me or doesn't. Why? Because I know God does. That's all that matters to me. I know he likes me. I know he loves me. And I want to love him back. Somebody asked me, how do you know God likes you? Go on, ask me. Somebody, ask me. Ask me. How do I know God loves me? Anybody? I'll tell you how I know. I'm glad you asked. See that lady there? My wife. I love her. In fact, no, I don't love her. I adore her. I truly adore her. And I know she adores me. Why do we know? Because we tell each other. I adore you. But you know what? But you know what? We love each other because we spend time together. If I came home and I thought, oh, I'm going to put the telly on now. I'll speak to you in the morning, darling. If we didn't spend time together, how could we learn to love one another? We absolutely adore a Sunday afternoon when we've got no one in the house. You know, we've just got that time together. After a busy week, a week where we may have had our kids with us. And it's wonderful that they want to be with us. But we also need quality time on our own. Quality time when we can spend time with God together or apart. And that's what my relationship is like with God. Woe betide my precious quiet time with God be interrupted. I hate that. I get really knacked if the kids come in or we've got somebody in the house and it intrudes onto my quiet time with God. I know I shouldn't, but that's how I feel. It's my time with God. If I wake up late and I have to rush out and miss it, ooh, I have a horrible day. Because I know that that is the time when my God will speak to me.
Where does that love come from? I cannot manufacture that. I cannot manufacture that love for my wife that I have. That has to come from Him. That's why I can say, my God likes me. My God loves me because I love Him. And I love my wife through that love that He puts in my heart. That's why I can love you. Warts and all. Not that you have any warts. But I can. Only by His grace and His love that is poured into me. And that should be the same for you. And it's so important that we spend time with Him. And in closing, He wants to be loved in the way He loves us, with His all. He gave everything. God the Father gave His beloved Son to us. And Jesus came and gave His all, His life, for us. We are equally yoked to Jesus, not by the size of our love, but by the all of our love. And though our all might be small, nevertheless, it's our all. And that's what we are called to do. To love Him with all our hearts, all our minds, all our strength, and all our soul. Let's pray. Father God, You truly, truly are an amazing God. Where would we be without that grace? Where would we be without that love? That's why we were created, to love You. And I pray, Father, that You will stir up our hearts right now, right where we are. Stir up our hearts to love You in return as You pour out Your love to us. Father, we want to be able to live out the Beatitudes. But before we can do that, we must put the first commandment back into first place. Help us to do that, Lord, by the power of Your beloved, wonderful Holy Spirit. That is the primary goal of the Holy Spirit. To show us the love of God. And to help us to love God with our all. So Holy Spirit, come and move amongst us, I pray. Speak to every spirit, every inner man here. And do what You do best. Reveal the glory of Jesus to us. We ask in Your wonderful name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you, and above all, give you His peace.